And we're back.
Are you sure?
We're back.
Positive.
Welcome to the Auto Authorities Podcast. My name is Jay Grossman. I am the founder and CEO of iAuto Agent. And this is Mr. David Marks with
Quality Auto Repair and Tire.
Oh, yeah. And we have an amazing show for you today. We have the number one question that I get asked like weekly.
Surprised not daily.
What car, what's the best starter car for my teenager and how to avoid a lemon? And we're going to really get into a lot of good stuff right now. And even if it's not for your teenager and you just want to buy a starter car or a lesser expensive
second car.
This is going to be an absolutely amazing show. Are you ready to do this, Mr. David Marks?
Absolutely.
Have you ever felt like you were taken for a ride when buying, selling, or repairing your car? Well, not anymore. I'm Jay.
And I'm Dave.
And this is the podcast that tells you what to watch out for, whether you're buying, selling,
or repairing your car.
With 47 years of automotive experience, we are the Automotive Authorities. This podcast is sponsored by iAuto Agent. We're real estate agents for cars.
And Quality Auto STL. Trusted services with no surprises.
We have an amazing show. Welcome to the Auto Authorities Podcast. My name is Jay Grossman. I am the founder and CEO of iAuto Agent. We are real estate agents for cars. We will help you sell your car, keeping you in control the entire time. We market, list, show your car, and handle the money transaction at no cost to you. And you will never have to meet those strangers. And we will help you buy a car nationwide. If you don't like going to the dealership and you want someone to do it for you, yeah, give us a call. We do everything from A to Z. We keep you in control the whole time. We do all the heavy lifting, and you don't have to move forward until you approve the deal. And this is Mr. David Marks with Quality Auto Repair and Tire. I got to get that right.
It's all good.
Trusted services with no surprises. The best in the business, folks. And, man, we have just so much stuff to talk about today. But before we get into the good stuff, let's thank our sponsors, podcastify.me. If you are looking for a podcast as beautiful as ours or close, because nothing can be as beautiful as ours.
Hell no.
You call Fritz at podcastify.me. He is the magic behind this whole podcast.
Yeah, we don't know what the hell we're doing.
We just show up. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please click the subscribe button in the right corner there and also the notification button, because you get to watch our pretty faces. You won't get a chance to watch us live, but you can watch us recorded. And we want to hear your comments too. When you're watching our podcast, give us some comments. And if you want to watch us live, you go to the Facebook group page on Facebook, and it's called the Auto Authorities Podcast. The Auto Authorities Podcast. You just click the subscribe button, and voila, you can watch us Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Central Time and leave comments. You guys are leaving so many comments for us. There are so many great questions, things that we didn't even think about. And share this. Share this with everybody you know. All right. I think I got everything I need to talk about here. Let's get right into this. Let's start step one. Right, Mr. David Marks? We're looking for that car. What's step one in your opinion?
I think it needs to be, like we've talked about a lot of other episodes, you know, how much do you want to spend? You know, realistically, what do you want to spend? What's a budget? Is it, you know, $3,000, $5,000, you know, $6,000, $10,000, you know, and be, you know, how much money do you want to spend?
And also nowadays, the $5,000 car is really more like an $8,000 car to a $10,000 car.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. What used to be 3 to 6 is 5 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that changing.
No. It's going to stay that way for pretty much forever. And the other thing too is, and you had made a good point, when you're budgeting out, like, you've got to realize if you're buying a $5,000 car, it's going to need some fixing sometimes, and it may be sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Used cars don't come with the maintenance up to par. If you buy a car at that level, and let's just say the transmission fluid is clean and it doesn't need to be serviced, well, that's a bonus. Used cars at this level don't come with all the maintenance up to par. I sell that range out of here, and that's what I tell my customers, you know, here's what I want. If you want all the maintenance up to par, this is what it costs. You know, what do you want to do? Because it does. That's not reality. No, there's no such thing as a perfect car in that range. You're going to have to give something, either a torn seat or a dent or a ding or scratch or something.
You're exactly right. And here's the thing, like, when people contact me, and I know they contact you too, this is usually how the conversation goes. I'm looking for a car for my teenager. I want something reliable. I don't really want to spend more than $5,000, you know, something with low miles that's been taken care of. Okay. You don't want a $5,000 car. Period. I mean, that's the truth. And then once you figure out, okay, this is my budget, what do you think the next step is?
I would reach out to friends and family, see if somebody happens to know, you know, grandma that had an older car that hardly drove that's looking to get rid of. I mean, reach out to your trusted network to see if you could find something. And then I would also, you know, ask the repair facility that you use, what would they advise you to buy? I mean, we know everything breaks, you know, we get that everything breaks, but some are known for breaking more than others. So I would ask, you know, I get people to ask me, like, hey, what would you, if you were looking for a car for your kid, Dave, what would you go out and look for?
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that. And I think that's a great point, is that you can go ask your friends and family, hey, do you have any cars? Because I will tell you this, the moment that car hits the internet, the very moment, if it's anything special, it will be gone faster than you can blink an eye.
Yep.
It will be. And so speaking of that, so I like to look on Facebook Marketplace, and we're going to talk about a few things here and there, but about some of the scams going on. And, like, because when you're looking at something on Facebook Marketplace, it may not be what you think it is. It may not actually be a private owner. It could be a car flipper. And we've talked about this.
Curbstoning.
Yes. We've talked about that tremendously. Now, the other thing that I like to look at, especially when you're putting your kid in a car, number one is safety.
And yeah. Find stuff that, because you'd be surprised the safety ratings on cars. Just because it's big and bulky doesn't mean it's safe. Some of the smaller cars can actually be more safe than a full-size SUV.
Well, and then these kids that all want Jeep Wranglers, that's probably one of the most unsafe vehicles ever, because, well, it doesn't really have a top, and then the ones that do have a top, the wheelbase is so close together that they flip.
They have a high center of gravity, and what that means is the high center of gravity means the majority of the weight is off the ground. So the taller a vehicle is, the more likely it is to flip and roll over. The more center of gravity lower to the ground, it's less likely to flip. There's some cars, they're hard to flip, but a Jeep Wrangler, nah, they're no problem. Flip them all day long.
Yeah. And the National Highway Traffic Safety Association is probably the best place to look for crash test ratings. And
isn't there an insurance institution or something? Some other,
there's entity? Several of them. I mean, with Google now, you just Google.
Well, no, people. I agree with the National Highway Traffic and Safety. It's like insurance institution, or it's like highway. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it, but they do crash ratings for insurance companies.
Yeah, it's really these are the first steps. So once you have your budget, you got to figure also if you're going to pay cash or you're going to finance now. If you're looking for a $5,000 car, I'm hoping you're paying cash.
Yeah, good luck in that financed.
Yeah, it's not.
You know who will finance that is Honest Abe.
Yeah, right. Honest Abe will.
Honest Abe will finance that all day long. That's what they want to do. They want to finance that $5,000 car. They don't want somebody paying cash for it.
Well, we're going to get into the cars to avoid and the cars that we like. But before we do that, you know, you had brought up insurance. You know, once you figure out your budget and you're thinking about the car you're looking at, and we're going to talk about some of our recommendations and some of the ones we don't recommend, call your insurance agent. Give them a VIN on just a vehicle that you like. It doesn't have to be the one that you're going to buy, but VIN stands for vehicle identification number. That is on the vehicle. It identifies the vehicle, and it will let you know at least what you're in for. Because if your kid's like, oh man, I want a Mustang GT and they're 16 years old, you know, you may have a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, I just saw something. Dave's going to have story time. It's my turn to have story time. And it involves this particular topic with my technician and buying a car for his kid. And he found out the hard way with insurance.
So your technician's name's not Bobby, is it?
No, it's not.
I was just curious.
I don't think Bobby's got any kids.
Yeah, Bobby doesn't have any brain cells either. So I'm glad that isn't the person. I wouldn't think you would hire Bobby.
No. So. Well, never mind. I was going to go down a ramp.
Well, let's talk about stories here in a second, but let's really get into this, the cars to buy and the cars to stay away from. I want to hear your list first because you're seeing these all day long.
You talk about list to buy or list not to buy?
To buy first.
To buy, well, I like the list that we have here. I'm a big fan of Kia Hyundai. I would start with one of those. I think that on the used car market, Toyotas and Hondas are overvalued and overpriced. You're paying for a reputation I don't think they deserve. And I think a lot of other people in this business would agree with me on that. They're not worth it. They break too, just like everything else. But I would add, I look at Ford. I'm a big fan of Ford. I mean, that would be it right there. You know, I don't know now would this, were we talking about cars or SUVs or compact or anything? I would
pretty much anything, but you got to realize if someone's only going to spend $5,000 on a car, they're not getting an SUV. They're not getting a Jeep.
No,
they're not getting any of those.
It's going to have a ton of miles on it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on the same page as you. Like, I've really been a big fan of Kia Hyundai too, because like Honda and Toyota do have a really like that mindset that, oh my gosh, this car will last forever.
No, they break too.
Yeah. And why pay a premium for a vehicle when you know that it's going to break eventually? And that's why you're in business. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's why there's repair shops everywhere. And that's why every dealership has an army of people, an army in the service department, because they break when they're brand new.
And they're beautiful.
Sometimes they break more when they're new than when they got 100K on them.
Yep. So you like Kia, Hyundai. So what are some of the vehicles you think to avoid?
Anything European right off the bat, unless you got disposable income or you got like a brother that works at the Audi dealership that will fix it for nothing.
Well, but here's the bottom line, though, is the parts are more expensive on European cars, too.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, that's why if you're going to buy a European car for your kid, make sure you got a brother or an uncle that works at a dealership that can get a discount on parts and that knows how to fix it.
I go back to this, you know, when people are asking, you know, they call iAuto Agent and they're talking to our agents. And basically they're like, well, what kind of car should we buy? And then sometimes they already know what kind of car they want to buy. Typically, we're not working with people that want $5,000 cars because the expectations are not what a real $5,000 car should be. But then you have what you call price and you have cost. And price is what you pay for the car. and the cost is what you really pay for the car. And that's why when we were talking about budgets and we're giving you that step-by-step process on how to buy that teenager car, it's so important to make sure that you are going through this process step-by-step, because if you skip any of these steps, it could wind up costing you.
I mean, when I go look, if I'm, let's say, you know, I buy and sell too, if I'm, this is what I like to sell, if I'm looking to buy something to fix and flip, I go through the same process. I mean, the exact same process. I have a cheat sheet that's got 20 things that I inspect before I buy it to resell. I go through the exact same process to sell mainly to my customers.
Well, definitely hold on to that thought, because we want to know what your process is. But real quick, if you're just joining us, welcome to the Auto Authorities podcast. We are talking about the best starter car for teenagers, and how do you avoid finding a lemon? Like, listen to what we have to say today, because this is something, even if you don't need it now, you're going to need it at some time. And make comments below. We'd like to hear your thoughts. What are some of your horror stories? We love.
I got plenty of those. I've had people that have bought stuff and then they bring it in here and, well, what'd you pay for this? Well, just add $2,000 to it.
Is it time for story time, or can we go into the next piece?
We'll go story time a little bit. So a couple other brands that I would have mentioned that I would avoid is anything with Chrysler attached to it. Chrysler, Dodge, yeah. Jeep, Ram. I would not buy one of those. Well, okay. Maybe I should tell people to buy those, because that's what's going to keep me in business.
Oh boy. That's a little,
yeah, rough. I would not, you know, another one that I would put an asterisk by is Nissan's. You know, yeah, they're known for their CVT transmissions, but I'm going to throw an asterisk out here, is what we service, at least in my experience in my shop, is, yeah, we put transmissions in, we put 3 to 5 in a year, but not much else past that. We do what I would consider normal wear and tear, you know, tires, oil changes, brakes, spark plugs, stuff like that, just basic maintenance. But outside of that, we do that in transmissions. So, you know, would I say yes to a Nissan? No. Would I say no to a Nissan? Yes. You know, it kind of goes back and forth. I would think if you're looking at one of those, you definitely want to call the dealership and say, hey, was it trans? Because here's a golden nugget for everybody. And we're going to use Nissan transmissions as an example. So let's say a customer brings me a car. So if you're looking at a Nissan, you can call the Nissan parts department, give them the VIN number, and they can look and see if a transmission was sold to that VIN number for that Nissan. So let's say this Nissan came from Texas, for example, okay, and it had a transmission put in from Texas. We're in St. Louis here, and it somehow magically is now in St. Louis. You can call a local Nissan dealer, and they can run the VIN, and they can say, yeah, one was sold to this Nissan through this Nissan dealer in Texas. And that goes for any vehicle. It doesn't matter if it's GM, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota. They can all do this because it's all based off the VIN number. So if you're looking at a Nissan and it had a transmission put in it 2 years ago at a Nissan dealer in another state, well, yeah, you're probably good to go on that.
That's interesting. So that's been my experience too, is when Dave is talking about CVT transmissions, it's a type of transmission that is different than a typical transmission. And basically, in a nutshell, they've had numerous issues with them. And they're very, 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 very expensive when they break. And if I understand correctly, you cannot replace a CVT transmission.
You can't rebuild them. We just buy new ones from Nissan and put them in.
And that's a great golden nugget, because when you're looking at that vehicle, and let's say, you know, if it's a $5,000 car, it's going to have 150, 160,000 miles, if not more. And if that's the original transmission, you could be looking into a potential.
Yeah, but let's say it had one put in at 120,000 or 110, you know, and it's got 150 on it. Well, sweet, because we typically replace them between 80 and 100K is what we're seeing on typically when we put them in, but that wow. goes for anything, you know. And I tell you what, Jay, there's something else I thought about is take the VIN number, put it into the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's website, and you can see if there's any open recalls on it as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of open recalls because people are just getting sued left and right. So that if anything happens,
well, yeah. It's dependent on the person that owns the car to take it to the dealer to get it done.
Right,
well, if they never done that, well, then that's not the manufacturer's problem if the vehicle isn't presented for service.
And also, open recalls are free to do. Those they don't cost you anything.
That's where you can go to, because that's the manufacturer's big brother when it comes to recalls. Everybody's got a big brother, makes theirs. So if it's not on that website, well, then it doesn't have one because they're legally obligated to that.
So before we get into how to start finding the vehicles on the internet, do you want to do story time, or we want to wait?
Yeah. So I got a technician here that's got a teenage kid, and we came across through a friend of a friend, a Jeep Liberty, the first generation Jeep Liberty. So he got it. He got a good price on it. And since he's a technician, he goes, "Hey, I'll do all this work." So he did all this work, and he goes to call his insurance company to get insurance on it. I think it was through the roof to insure this kid on a Jeep Liberty.
So, why do you think that is?
Because it's a Jeep,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a sport utility. It's a little bit older one, got a little bit more miles on, but you know, he's a master technician. So he goes, "Well, I'll fix it. What's it need? I can fix that. No problem." You know, gets it all fixed up and calls the insurance company, and boom. Oh, I should have called the insurance company before I bought this. So
yeah,
through another friend of our connection here, we found his kid a Kia Spectra, which is insurance Ooh. Is more reasonable, and he'll sell the Jeep and it'll work out. But yeah, that's a perfectly good example of don't buy anything Jeep attached to. It's going to have high insurance for a 16-year-old. When I hear parents, they told me avoid red and two doors.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's all bullshit. But let's do this. You know, I want to talk about vetting the dealerships. This is important, or private owners. And really, when people are coming to us, and we very rarely have a $5,000 car, I always tell them, go to a private owner. You're going to, because if the dealership is selling something for $5,000, that means they bought it for $1,500 or less. And that's not good. So you want to like go to a private owner, but let's really talk about that a little bit. When you're looking at Facebook Marketplace, and I hit on this before, this is really important, and this is a golden nugget. When you're looking at Facebook Marketplace, look at the person who is selling the vehicle and look to see if they have any other vehicles that they are selling. That is a clue right there. If they have more than one vehicle that they're selling, that they are not a private owner. And if they're lying about that, what else are they lying about?
Yeah, because a private owner is just going to have one.
Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at the photos, and I'm going to give you some really good, great things, because this is how we teach our agents too, because we look for vehicles that are being listed online to talk to the private owner to see if they want to sell their vehicle through iAuto Agent and not deal with the hassle of selling it on their own. So if you look at the picture and you see in the background, you actually see a car dealership, chances are you're not working with a private owner.
No.
Here's another one. I'm going to keep rattling them off. So when you're looking at the vehicle and you see on the back of the vehicle on the license plate, it says D and it has some numbers, that means it is a dealer posing as a private owner. I'm going to give you another one. When you're looking at the windshield of the vehicle, so the front shot, and in the top corner on the driver's side, it has a little tag that's a yellow or white, and it's a little square in the corner. It means it's a dealer. And I'm going to keep throwing them out to you, so keep taking notes. So when you're looking inside the vehicle and you look at the key tag, because a lot of times they'll take a picture of the dashboard with the key in the ignition, with that little key tag hanging down, not all the time, because some people still keep their key tags on their car from the original car they bought, but chances are it's a dealer. And those are some tremendous, tremendous pieces of advice that I can give you from almost 26 years of doing this. Is I would really avoid working with the dealership, work with a private owner, and really look to see if they're really a private owner. And if you're looking at a car, I'll give you just a quick story because we have a little bit of time here. We're going to have another part to this. We got a lot more to talk about. So when I was on Facebook Marketplace today, because I always like to look at Facebook Marketplace just to see if I can find things. Craigslist is another one. Facebook Marketplace has actually turned out to be more scammy than Craigslist, because Craigslist now costs $5 to post an ad. And it's not that much, but it requires a credit card. And if you have a scammer, a lot of times they're not going to want to use a credit card to pay.
No, for that's it. Attached to them. That's exactly. Highly traceable.
And that keeps out the riffraff. Now let's look at Facebook Marketplace. So I'm looking. I saw a 2004 Toyota Tacoma, absolutely in beautiful shape, a little over 100,000 miles for $1,000.
Is that the down payment or is that what they wanted?
That's what they wanted.
Because we both know, Jay, today's market, what is that, an $18,000 truck in today's market?
Not in an 04, no, no, no. It's probably worth
10 or 12.
Probably 12 grand still, yeah.
Well, Toyota and Toyota Tacoma owns the midsize truck segment.
But here's another golden nugget for you. In the background, if the price wasn't, you know, enough of a red flag, there were palm trees in the background. So, you know, you need to be looking for those things. And this is just part one of our, you know, like walking you down the road on how to find the best starter car for your teenager and just avoiding lemons and avoiding these scams. If you are looking at a dealership though, for example, make sure that you look at the Google reviews. This is really, really important, especially now. I do say avoid what I call these Honest Abe dealers. And the Honest Abe dealers are the ones that have, you know, 5 to 10 cars on the lot. It's usually a rock lot. It has like a little tiny little building. It might even have those little flags that look like, you know, the old
the streamers.
Yeah, the streamers. Look at the Google reviews, because people speak up when they get screwed. They don't speak up a lot when they have a great experience, but they do speak up a lot when they get screwed. And if you look at the Google reviews and you look for patterns in what that Google reviews are saying, that's going to give you the indication that you are working with an
automotive roulette.
Right. Now, on the flip side, people like David, you know, that's a mechanic, he can buy some. Like, we even provide some of the vehicles from iAuto Agent that we are not looking to put the money in. He'll put the money into it, fix it up, and stand behind the car.
I was going to say, you know, call repair shops. I'm not the only repair shop that does this. And a lot of repair shops, you know, their clientele will sell them something because it needs a little bit of work. And then that shop turns around and resells it. That's a great way to find these little gems, is through repair shops.
It is.
They may not even, like, I'm a Missouri licensed dealer. This is part of my business model, but I know other shops that it's not part of this business model, but they probably sell a few cars a year just because of this. It needs an engine, and the owner and the shop will buy it for $500. They'll put the engine in it and resell. Well, now you're buying something with a good engine in it, you know, and it's $4,000. You'd be, they're out there.
You're exactly right. And so the moral of the story is stick with private owners and really make sure they are a private owner. If it's a dealer, look for the Google reviews. And if it's a mechanic, you know, still look at the Google reviews because
make sure the shop isn't doesn't that. But if a shop's selling something and their Google rating's a 4.7, it's probably legit.
Or higher would be nice. But yeah. Anyway, we've got a lot more to talk about. Stay tuned for the next part. We have so many cool things that we still need to hit with you. You guys have a great week, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Bye, everybody.